John 15, 1 and 2 here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But then every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I want to start a series here for 2 or 3 weeks, and then it will end up in our mid-year fast. You say, Pastor, what do you mean our mid-year fast? Well, it is our mid-year fast. We used to do it 5 years ago if you were not here. So we have recalled it. Our mid-year fast, which will be for, I know your heart is beating, 7 days only. Say 21. All right. For 7 days, yeah. But what I want to speak on is the subject of renewal. Right? The subject here of renewal. Now, some people, everybody, well, people know that life is in cycles. But what some people believe is that it's cycles of, of 7 years. Some people believe that. That every 7 years you move into another cycle of your life. Some believe that every 10 years you move into a cycle of your life. Some believe you can't put time on it in terms of adequate, but cycles just come and they go. Well, then life is in cycles there. Yeah. In other words, one cycle comes and it ends, and then another cycle comes in. And when you are in a particular cycle, the things that characterize it, or I take you to the top of that cycle, and then after some time, it begins to diminish. And if you continue doing those particular things without making any adjustments, until it gets into the next cycle there, what happens is, stagnation now comes in. Now, life is really growth. Wherever there is life, the expression of life is growth. So life is growth there. Where you have life, you have growth. In other words, if you have a plant and you cut off the supply of life to it, maybe you tie it at a stem somewhere, then the evidence of lack of life now begins to show forth. The leaves begin to wither, the colors begin to change, right? And everything begins to degenerate. But you go somewhere and the leaves are fresh, they are green there, everything is budding, you understand. Some leaves are falling off, new leaves are coming, you understand that it is full of life. From the appearance of the tree, you can recognize the presence of life on the inside. Same way with human beings, you can look at people and understand that life is leaving a person, or they are full of life. Now, so life is growth, but what I really want to say is growth is change. In other words, wherever you are having growth, it's because the people or the person is changing. They are making a slight but powerful changes. They are making adjustments as they read the signs and the signals correctly. Those corresponding actions are occurring from their heart as they adjust, when things appear within their environment. So growth, is change. And anybody that stops, or any organization that stops changing, that organization stops growing. So when we start experiencing stagnation, that is, if a person begins to experience stagnation in their lives, it's probably because one cycle that they have been in has come to an end, and another cycle has been initiated. Either they don't recognize this, they know that something is happening on the outside, but don't understand the spiritual input of it. So one has ended, and they need a renewal to be able to enter into the second one. In other words, like the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. They need a renewal there. This is what we're talking about, in order for them to be launched into the next cycle of life. Continuous difficulties, therefore, which means difficulties that are persistent, going through continuous difficulties. You've been in perpetual difficulties over, let's say, 3 years. In harmonies there, or disharmonies in your relationships, indicate that you are either refusing to give out or give up something you no longer need in the next cycle, or you are refusing to accept something that you require for the new cycle. In other words, you are holding on to something that you should give up. And this can be a mindset. Well, look at this. This can be a way of, or the way you understand the things. All right? A paradigm, which means the way you look at things. This can be a people that you are emotionally attached to. It can be anything you are refusing to give that up, all right? Or refusing to accept, all right, something new that you need. In other words, people come to meet you and talk to you about adjustments that you can make. All right? And you find that repulsive and you refuse, all right, to accept that. And this is one of the, probably the most difficult skill that any human being will learn on the earth. Recognition of the time and the strength to release the old in order to completely embrace the new. Jesus, the one through whom we were created, said that no man, Jesus said no man. Now Jesus said no man. All right, having drunk of the old wine, straight away desires the new. That he always says that the old is better than what you are bringing in. So in order for him to accept that the new is better, he has to go through a process of renewal, which is what we're talking about. Without that, all right, he will not be able to see and to recognize the new. So we are so accustomed to the old that we keep refusing the new. Now growth is attained by an exchange. An exchange of the old for the new. Then growth happens. Of the good for the better. And we cannot therefore attain or obtain those things that we lack in our lives if we tenaciously hold on to the things, all right, that we have. So if you tenaciously cling onto everything that you have, and you are, you won't be able to obtain the things that you lack or you need at that particular point in time. Like Jesus said to his disciples, he said, well, you are in perpetual need. He said it's an indication of something bigger than just that need. It is a sign of something. That's why he said, don't just pray like the heathen do. That what I will eat, what I will drink, what I will wear. He said, life is more than this. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all right, God's plan and his righteousness, the right way of doing it. He said, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he started telling us about the right way of doing things. And he said, the first thing that you've got to do is take from what you have and go and give alms. In other words, for you to be able to receive the new, you have got to give up something. You must create that space, all right, inside your life. So you give it up. Sometimes it's giving up, all right, in terms of forgiving people. Giving up a grudge that you have held in your heart towards a person. Giving up an offense, all right, that you have inside your heart towards a person. Just canceling the debt in terms of emotional debt that somebody might owe you based on what, all right, they have done. And just letting that go. So growth is attained through an exchange. And this is the change that brings growth. In other words, there's something they're doing, they exchange it for something better. There's a position they held, exchange it for something better. And so your present experience that you have in your life right now, let's assume you're having a present experience that is negative of some sort. What you have got to learn is that that present experience is for your own personal benefit. In other words, you say, well, I'm in an office. And the nicest way to describe the person that sits next to me based on the behavior of him or her is that they are partially possessed by a devil. Alright? That's the nicest way to say it. Which means the amount of stress, so to speak, that they create in the morning. I have been praying, that's what I'm saying, to God to remove this person completely. But God is saying here, I want to show this here, that experience is for your own personal benefit. There is something that, and this power of renewal, you're going to need in the next cycle. That this is training ground to develop, alright, the character and to develop certain things to be able to enter and to be able to manage the things that God wants to bring in. So it's for your own personal benefit there. And this is what happened to Paul. And Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. It was a thorn in his flesh. Like that person next to you might be a thorn in the flesh. But Paul understood something. He said, listen, while he embraced, because what you need to do is that you need to understand that this present experience is for your benefit, that you grow through it by absorbing, all right, the wisdom that is contained in it. By learning the lessons that you ought to learn. By you, all right, gathering the essential things for further growth and development. In other words, this person is so provocative that you always talk back. The minute, alright, this person says something. But then God says, I want you to learn to be slow to speak. To learn to be quick to hear. To listen to that person in a deeper way. That all of that behavior might be coming out from some abuse in their childhood. That when you reach to that particular point, you'll find out that this person just has this mask over them because they're trying to shield themselves from getting hurt the way they got hurt all right there. He says, be slow to speak, be quick to hear, to listen deep and to comprehend, all right, at very deep levels there. And he says, be slow to wrath. He says, because the anger of man will never work the righteousness of God. And then you find out after some time that a massive door was opened to you through this person's cousin that comes to see that person. Are you following what I'm saying here? And then you realize something about life that you tell people that listen, that look, when things like this happen in your environment, that be very slow to speak, that listen very deep, that you can always reach the person, that you can always, all right, get to that particular person. I mean, I've spoken in church in England, and all right, last 2 weeks ago, and I was talking to someone and said she's a nurse what's the right word to use now? You have to be politically correct too. You have to say the right way. But she's a nurse in a psychiatric hospital. And she told me that everybody that works in that hospital doesn't live in that area or that town. Because they don't want to meet their patients and they don't want to get attacked. She said, but I have discovered I'm the only one that lives in that area and I meet with my patients. She said, I have discovered that the inner man always responds to love. That if you can demonstrate love, that you will touch the inner man. And they always recognize that. Said, I have never had that experience, all right, where I meet one of my patients and the patient does something that is wrong to me. Said, so she learned that. So there are things, alright, I'm not saying she learned this one, do you understand? I'm just saying that in everything that you are in, there are things, alright, that you need, alright, God wants to teach you. He wants to get you there. That's why Paul prayed, he said, God, I beseech thee 3 times, you let this thing depart. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. It's not going anywhere. He said, your weaknesses shall be made perfect through my strength. In other words, you have infirmities, I'm going to strengthen you. You have weaknesses in your character, I'm going to use this to build you up. All right? Okay? Because something is coming in the future here. Some young lady say, well, you are there. And you know, and God wants to teach you from this woman that is terrible boss. Terrible boss. But God says, look, I know the man who is right for you. Both of you are going to do powerful things on the earth. Only one problem. The in-laws are just a fraction of what this your boss is doing. So I want you to acquire that skill so you don't destroy the marriage because of the in-laws. Do you understand what I'm saying here? All right, that you might destroy the blessing, all right, because of something that is not connected to it here. And we'll get into this. So Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice. And he saw that, look, the real root of the problem was the pride that was going to come into his heart because of abundance of revelation. He said, lest he came to see that. He learned that lesson. He understood that lesson. I was tipping into the area of pride. I was getting, you know, looking down on Peter. Looking down on John and the rest of them because of the abundance of revelation that was given unto me. So he said, this thing happened and I've learned my lesson. The grace of God has come through. I have been taught, all right, and I have been strengthened in that particular area within my life. So it's not a question of when you are in some difficulty, it's not a question of who is right or who is wrong. There's a question here of who is learning the lesson that God wants communicated, all right, through that particular situation. Now, this I just described there is probably the most difficult skill here. But we've got to understand this. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, if you are laboring and you are heavy laden, he said, there are certain things you need to learn. If you learn these things, if you allow me to teach you these things, he said, you are going to find the rest for your soul. You are going to enter into a place of rest. So God wants, all right, to teach us and communicate. He looks ahead and says, you need this, all right, to be able to get into the next space where you are supposed to be. Now, I'll just give an example, all right. I watched a film many years ago. I was very young then. And it was on martial arts. Now, you know, understand the basic story of Kung Fu films. The Kung Fu films are about revenge. All right, storyline is very simple. You kill my father, you kill my mother, I'm coming back to kill your father, kill your mother. So finish, that is the end. All right, the rest is the way and manner in which they fight. It's about somebody came, bad guys came to deal with us, the good guy, all right, learns the art, goes for training and all of that, runs all of that, they're training him, and then he goes to fight, all right, and that's the end of the storyline. Same storyline, all right, throughout every single Kung Fu film. But we still pay for Kung Fu to watch the same storyline there. But in this case, there was this young man here, at the beginning of the film, they killed his father, killed his mother, literally, killed his uncles and all of that, so he decided to go and meet some master who will teach him how to fight. And so he got there, and the man gave him logs to chop, gave him an axe, said, go and chop logs of wood at the back of my house. First week he did that, second week he did that, third week he did that, fourth week he did that. This man will be selling the logs. By the fifth, sixth week he started shouting, who do you think you are? You came here to, I said, I came to learn how to fight. You are doing all that, and he was shouting and everything. And the man said, I can teach you how to fight in 6 months, but I can't remove this thing that will destroy you in this time. So he said, I wanted you to get to the point where that thing shows up so you know what can destroy your skill. This character defect you have will neutralize the skill that you have. Which means that when you respond in this way and you are so hasty, I mean, God is bringing some of you to a place where, you know, if you don't know how to respond to a tweet, you will respond in a way that it can affect your career. Are you following what I'm saying here? You go and type something in anger that you should not type, and by the time you delete, it's with the whole world. All right? When you show the anger is in a room, you talk back. But nobody knew about that. But God says, the world we are living in, all right? You release something into the air. So he said, we have to cut off all these things out of your heart, right, before you get to that particular place. I mean, I have two friends who are solid guys, who have fought for Nigerian martial arts, and they are perfect gentlemen. Even when they are provoked, I've seen people provoke them, all right? They won't respond. Because they will tell you that they know kicks. They've shown me kicks that they can end a man person's life. They can break your neck. One kick, bam, the neck is broken. All right? And because they said before they give you such powers and give you such skills, the first thing they will do is teach you self-mastery. Which means that if there is no self-mastery, all right, they won't give you all of those tools. Because they understand the power, all right, that is contained in those tools. In fact, one of them told me, not I told me, he used to be my fellowship on campus, and this is what he told me. He said, Pastor, he said, never wake me up by shaking me or standing close to me. He said, because we are taught, all right, we will read, my body will read it as danger, and I will have kicked before I realize what is going on. And he doesn't want your bones broken. So when I get there, his name used to be boy, his name was Bodunde, I will stand afar and say, Bodunde. One day I went there to play, and took off. But those are things that, so they teach them mastery. And this is what God is saying. He said, we want to teach you, all right, mastery there before we now open you up to see certain things. So I read this from somebody, a solid chap, and he said this. He said, an ordinary man, the ordinary man, who has no knowledge of cause and effect. In other words, who doesn't know that when things happen, there's a reason behind it. Who doesn't know that when something happens here, there is cause and effect, means there is something that actually triggered that. Who doesn't understand that a man who is succeeding in business has come by the application, all right, of deliberate principles there. So someone said, an ordinary man who has no knowledge of cause and effect, who is governed by feelings and emotions, he thinks chiefly to justify his actions. In other words, his thinking is limited to justifying his actions. So if somebody is in that office who is really irritating him or her, all that he's thinking about when they behave here, he's not looking at the invisible hand of God that has orchestrated and ordered his steps to that particular place and wants to teach him certain skills about life and develop things. He just looks at it to justify, which means to win the argument, to say his own side of the story, all right, and to get most of the people to agree with him or her that he is right and something is wrong with this person. Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus spoke about men that justify themselves. That's all they seek for. Luke 16 and verse 15. If you put it up here. Alright. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart. So they were just interested in winning the argument and justifying themselves, their actions before men. But God knows your heart. For the things that are highly esteemed among men, it says, it's an abomination in the sight of God. So if that man fails, he went further to say, at office work, he claims that it's because he's an outdoor man. If he fails as a businessman, he says luck is against him. If he lacks friends, he says his individuality is too fine to be appreciated by common men. You follow what I'm saying here? Which means I'm so unique that people, that's why I don't have friends there. Alright? So you can even hear statements of pride there. That there is nothing wrong with me. There is something wrong on the outside. There is nothing wrong with my business practice. It is that I was just not lucky. There is nothing wrong, alright, with the way I was going about my work there. It's just that, you know, people did not like me. Everything he blames on the outside here. Yeah. He never thinks his problem through to the end. He seeks to console himself with explanations and excuses. He thinks only in self-defense. In other words, self-preservation. In other words, I must always make myself look good. There is nothing. So, person who has learned this lesson, if he hires people or hires a person, and the person betrays trust, and the person steals or whatever, he doesn't look at it and says that, hey, this useless thief, eh? And he says he's a Christian and he came to this business to and he stole. He looks at it and says, there's something wrong with my sense of judgment. If this person sat inside my office, I spoke to this person, and I could not detect these flaws in this person, then I have to check, all right, the way I arrive at conclusions, because, all right, there's something faulty with me. For this person will have shown the signals there. There will have been something about this person that he gave up what he was really going to do. How come I missed that? Or how come the system that I have created missed that? How come we don't have the kind of structure that picks that up, all right, at a very low level and quickly passes it off, all right, for us to recognize and be able to deal with that?
Thank you for listening.